Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. My dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, in St. Matthew 25, you have the capstone of the author's work on parables. Everything that Jesus has said about parables is summarized in three of them, and they are almost all about one single thing. They are about the wisdom that is the foolishness of the world, a wisdom which commits itself and entrusts itself to the promise that God makes you right before him by the gift he gives in Jesus. The wise and foolish virgins. The wise ones, they had extra oil because the wait was long. The middle one is the text for today, and the last one is the final judgment, in which all their lifetime God had been hiding in the suffering and misery of the brothers and sisters around them. And the service that was done by people who had entrusted themselves to him. So the theme of this parable today, the parable of the five, the three, and the one talent, the good and faithful servants in the joy of their Lord, as distinguished from the one lazy, wicked, and evil servant who is excluded from the presence of the Lord, is the theme of the life of faith that invests itself, it will entrust itself to no other God than this God, the crucified and risen Jesus, King of the kingdom. He is the one in this text who gives out his possessions. Everything he owns, he gives. He's going on a long journey. And Matthew is one who, as with the wise and foolish virgins, the bridegroom delayed and it got into midnight before he got around. Well, in this one, it was a long time that he was away. But he gave his gifts, his possessions, to his slaves. There will be, Jesus says, an end to your life, to the endless conflict between flesh and spirit, faith and unfaith, between trusting God and making your own calf of gold. There will be a conclusion because the end has already begun. With Jesus Christ's death, God has killed our debt and has broken the jaw of hell and has opened paradise. And with the resurrection from the dead, God has come now to give a new life. Granted, hidden in these silly girls going on a wedding, hidden in enough oil to make your lamp continue burning, hidden in that being far away in a long time, and all it looks like now is what we're doing is business. Hidden in the weakness and suffering of the neighbor. But there is where the work of that king goes on. It is the kingdom of God that Jesus is describing. That kingdom is marked by an enormous generosity. The Lord Master gives his possessions, distributes them, and there's nobody on the outside at the beginning. All three are on the inside. I'm not talking now about pagans who don't know God. I'm preaching now to the church of God. That extremely generous Lord gives his wealth. And after a long time, he returns to settle accounts. He is not playing a religious game that you get into religion or commit some things to Jesus or do religious things. This is a characteristic of a life. And the generosity of the Lord is marked by joy that is hidden for such a long time. It seemed for all practical purposes that the king was gone. Who knows when he'll get back? This impatience of heart. We don't know about this, Moses. I mean, let's make us a calf, a god, somebody who will pleasure us, somebody who will give us the things that we delight. And we'll say, these are the gods who delivered us. Our fertility, our brains, our money, our energy, our learning. No, that is not the way it is in the kingdom of heaven. The generosity of this Lord is revealed in triplicate. The five talents grew to 10 talents. The two grew to 4, as if by their own energy. There's nothing to indicate it was the wit and power of the slaves who invested it. The slaves only invested it. That is, they used his possessions for what they were for. You live on them. Secondly, the delight of the master in his slave. Well done. I mean, can you imagine God slapping his hip in delight before all of the angels and the whole universe, saying of you, well done. What you did was well done. And he has the word good and faithful slave. You are good. That's his comment, his generosity, not our work. We are always trying to work to save ourselves. What God is trying to do is make the salvation that works for us. And this is it. You are a faithful slave. You did nothing but receive, invest, and give on what I gave you. Having learned to care for a few things, therefore, you have been to your kindergarten and you've got your graduate degree. Now you're ready to go to work on some big things. I appoint you master of many things. Enter, therefore, into the joy of your Lord. Three things keep multiplying the generosity. There is nothing in this master except bounty, generosity, joy, a fruitful energy that multiplies. That is his possession. It is a righteousness, a work that God has done to make us right, that works. That's his concern, a salvation that works, not how we can work to make our salvation. Therefore, these talents are to be invested. What are the talents? These are possessions. They have nothing to do with the ability of the slave. He gave them out according to the ability. One of them had great ability. He got five. He might have even been a theologian. Who knows? He might have even been a pastor. Another one got only two. Well, he was busy with his business doing this and that. He didn't have a lot of brains or time to do the investing. And one got only one. But the point is, all of them got the possession. It was only according to their abilities that there were some distinctions made. The possessions are his. They are his to give. And he gives them as he wills. Ours is to receive, to invest them, to live on them. And they will multiply. The possessions are to be put to work. Their increase seems in this parable to have very little to do with the people who invested it, with their wit and skill, their efforts or their capacities. It was like fruit growing on a tree, or like you heard last Sunday. It is the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Or as you heard in the terrible conflict text last Sunday, the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are the fruits of the spirit. You do not grunt and groan to see if you can make the possessions multiply. You invest them. You live on them. That's where your life is. They take care of the life and the growing. So it is revealed in his word what the secret of the kingdom of God is. Good and faithful service. He himself is making his servants to be what he wants them to be. And the one who is going to make his own God. I knew you were a hard man, that you went around harvesting where you had not planted. You gathered into your granaries where you had not done the threshing. And so I took what was yours and I hid it in the ground. Here, you can have it back. It is this man. And it is we who are to hear. He was not going to trust the investment. You can't trust that gift. You've got to figure out ways to manage this hard, demanding, angry, this God who acts like everything belongs to him. Take back what's yours. And so he was called wicked and lazy. He was expelled, not because he didn't have great ability, but because he would not use the possession as the king wants it used. The Lord multiplies, even in this dread situation, the riches of those who are faithful and good. Take it away from that man and give it to the man who has 10, because those who have will receive even more. You have only begun to see what his bounty is. A lifetime of living will only be your kindergarten introduction. But the joy keeps multiplying. Enter into that joy with extra richness, the king says. The possessions then are called talents in this parable. They are the holy gospel of the glory and the grace of God. That is the possession of the king. That is what he gives to his slaves, all of them. He doesn't give Corby a little bit, and you a little bit, and Zion a little bit, and the Missouri Senate a little bit, and the Pope a little bit. Everybody has got his own little bit, doing his own little thing. Those are the gods of gold. Pick them up and throw them away. For this God gives his possessions, his holy gospel, that those possessions may do what the king wants done with them. It is he who breaks out in abundance. This is what St. Paul is describing in Philippians today. He said, I could go through a list of things that were my wealth, my riches. I was a Jew born of the Jews, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee by the law. I was zealous. I even killed Christians. And all of this I count to be garbage. I count it sewage to be flushed away, because there is a righteousness that God gives. This is the possession by which God possesses us, that Christ has taken hold of us to be good and faithful with these possessions. Is to receive them, live on them, invest them. That is your God. You know where you are to invest them. Where do you invest the holy gospel? You listen to it preached. All the arrogant, presumptuous, lazy, wicked servants who decide not to be here to hear the gospel preached today, they are the ones who, having begun on the inside, may very well end on the outside. You have learned that if that possession is to be used, it is to be invested. It is to be stuck into the ear, into the heart, into the mind, and out of the mouth. It is to be invested where you live, where you work and play and sleep and suffer. Paul said, what I want to do is I want to learn how to die the way he did, so that I may be a partner in his resurrection. That is the possession, the rich talent that he gives. Different ones have different abilities, but the possessions are the same. The priceless treasure is Jesus. That possession, he gives it to you. He gives it to you that you may live on it, that you may be investing it, that the salvation which works is what you trust to work for you. You are not inventing golden calves of sensuality and pleasure or power or money or security or whatever you happen to choose as the way you are going to say, these are the gods who brought us out into salvation. No. You have this salvation that you embrace him who has embraced you. The righteousness of God. Paul says, that's the one I want. The righteousness that comes by faith, not the righteousness by the works of the law. So living in faith is to invest your life in those possessions, the possessions of the masters of the kingdom. In learning to live, we learn to live doing really one simple thing. We learn how to flush the toilet every day, throwing off the garbage and the gunk that we keep developing within ourselves. All of these little golden calves that we want to make, and of course we do like Israel, we paint the name Jesus over them. Turn Jesus into this. If you've got to, Jesus is the answer, no matter what the question is, Jesus is the answer. Make a little gold God out of Jesus. Always painting the name of God somewhere. Like Aaron said, tomorrow will be the feast of Yahweh, and they were standing in front of that fertility symbol. That is not what it delivered them. And so we are listening to that one who gave his possession, his own self, his own gospel. And it is not for you to say, oh, God is so demanding, so holy, so pure, so right, so good, that I must spend my life seeing to it that I take care of this and never lose any of it. Dig a hole in the ground and bury it so that I can throw it in his teeth when he comes back and says, what did you do with your life? I can say, here, this is what you gave me, now take it back, it's yours. That's not living invested in the possessions. This precious treasure gives us the life that we can live pressing onward. The things that are behind, the things that are corrupted, the things that are shameful, the things that are evil, let them be dumped. They are refuse, taken to the garbage heap. But this one, He makes his possessions grow, and he makes you richer and richer and richer. You've learned how to handle little things. I'm going to make you master over many. Well done, good and faithful servant. You see, life in the kingdom is the life of the celebration of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, coming into death, picking us up, and taking us over into life. And he who through faith is right shall live. That life is for living. That is the investment of the possession. We come to the pardon today. The investment, his possession that he gives to us. This is my body. Do you think he has any more? Or do you keep wishing, well, there ought to be more now, so long since we've seen him? He has no more. He gives all. This is my blood. It is for your cleansing. Eat it, drink it, live on it. And learn how to love one each other. And learn how to live, not within this pinched anxiety. Got to dig a hole, keep it safe, so nobody can touch it. Everybody wants it. To live with that prodigality, that generosity, that joy of the Lord. Because what he wants to say to you is what he says in this text. He wants to say it to me. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Today we eat and drink. Let us drink with joy. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you.